Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Hey, baby, they come.
Wait, welcome back to Rookie Fever, another Rookie Fever player profile. I think this is going to end up being like the 29th player profile we've put out. You'd think it's coming to an end, but it I don't feel that way. We've got more for you. I'm here today with John Lobb once again. Welcome back, John. John, you're the first one in this series to grace us with your presence two times. So happy to have you here, John. Awesome friend of the show. You do so much, John. I'm even trying to think of what you do from like just all the campus stuff you do, getting us ready for Debbie. It's been studying these rookies a while. FF diehards. The NFL draft Bible. You're the gridiron scholar. What am I missing, John? How the hell are you, first of all? Like, thanks for being here.
Oh, no problem. It's my college fantasy football, all of my stuff during the season on Fan Tracks. But man, I am so excited to be back. I was pumped. You reached out to me one day last week and you said, do you want to come back on? And I loved doing the Rashad Bateman podcast with you. Rookie profile, and that must have been 4 or 5 weeks ago now. I don't exactly remember when it was. And you said you sent me a list of players that have been profiled, and then obviously these are the players that are still available. Yeah. And I could not believe, my mouth was aghast, that no one took our man, Zach Wilson. I cannot believe he was still available. So I am pumped to come on and talk about Zach Wilson, my friend.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I'm surprised, too. There's a couple players that I'm still kind of disappointed that nobody's grabbed. And it's awesome because, like, we have some people that will grab some of those, like, the third and fourth round guys, which is awesome, too, because those are some of the guys you also need to hear about.
Yes.
But, yeah, I was surprised as well. I don't know when you came on because this has been a lot of fun. It was you're probably right. It was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago. I talked to you a lot, so I do lose track of time. And then Dave and Feverish have been crushing these as well.
Yep.
John actually deemed Feverish Fanero Dr. Fever.
I love that nickname. That is a great nickname.
So with that said, I mean, we'll hop right into this Rookie Fever player profile. You've all heard from John before. John knows what we're doing today very well, so we'll get going.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right, John. Other than for some crazy reason, Zach Wilson being available, why did you pick Zach Wilson?
I'm one of the last man standing on Twitter in favor of Zach Wilson, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
He is my number two quarterback. He has been my number two quarterback for about 8-9 weeks now. And the first thing I want to say before the Twitter hordes come after me, this does not preclude me from liking Justin Fields. I think there's a dynamic in the ranking scouting industry that if you like one player, that means that the other player you dislike.
Sure.
And I find that narrative to be an unfair narrative because I like Justin Fields a lot. But what I have to do as a fantasy football dynasty analyst, NFL draft scout analyst for skill positions, I have my own personal offensive lineman, but I don't publish those because I don't have as much experience as I do with the skill position players.
Mm-hmm.
I have to choose one or the other. And I've been on the Zach Wilson train for a long time. And there definitely seems to be two camps that have emerged in this Justin Fields, Zach Wilson debate. The first camp is the NFL draft scout camp, and that's made mostly major media too, ESPN, you know, CBS Sports, NFL.com, the big scouts, the big draft rankers like Daniel Jeremiah, Mel Kiper, Todd McShay. They tend to be on the Zach Wilson train. And then you have the Twitterverse, which is just like the angry hordes coming at you from the north. And they are clearly on the Justin Fields bandwagon. And we have complete conflict in the Twitterverse between the two camps. I am on the Zach Wilson train. However, I see what Justin Fields can do. I just believe that Zach Wilson is a little bit better of a prospect. So when you gave me the opportunity with Zach Wilson on the list, I had to grab it, my friend.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned at the beginning of that how you don't hate him. Because so many times now that does happen, and I've learned from doing this so long that a lot of times you have to be careful of how you talk, or you have to be clear, like, no, I'm not saying I hate this player, but you're asking me to pick between the two, and this is the one I want. Like, it was an easy choice for me because I know how I have them ranked already in my head. Boom. But it doesn't mean I hate said player. So a lot of times you do have to make it clear now, like, I don't hate this player, you know, like, but yeah, I want this one.
Yeah, I mean, an NFL team has to make the choice, correct?
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad. That's the reason I'm kind of glad that Zach Wilson was available for you, and we waited a little bit, because now we are starting to hear more and more rumblings, and it does start to sound like maybe the Jets are going to take him at number two overall.
I'm pretty convinced. I mean, if I had a wager on it, and I'm coming out with my mock draft later this week on footballdiehards.com. Thanks for the cheap plug.
I like that.
I'm going to have Zach Wilson at number two. I'm pretty convinced that the Jets have identified him as their next franchise quarterback. And I actually am amazed at the number of people who are just absolutely convinced that the Jets are making the absolute worst choice possible. And I live in the Northeast, and my best friend's a Jet fan, and I've probably gone to 20 Jets games live in my lifetime, and I probably watch more Jets football than I like to admit. So I'm very familiar with the failures of the New York Jets. But I have to open my eyes, and I have to say to myself, he is still the second pick overall in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
That is worth something, right? And I hearken back to last year when Justin Herbert was the sixth overall pick in the draft. And in super flex leagues, you are getting him in the second round. In one quarterback dynasty leagues, I saw Justin Herbert go in the third round.
Yeah.
And I feel like the entire dynasty community has not learned from their previous mistakes, that they get set in these narratives. And once they've etched the narrative in stone, there is no going away from that narrative. And I could be completely wrong on Zach Wilson. Around this game, I've seen, you know, over 42 NFL drafts. I've been wrong on players, especially the quarterback position. But I wonder what we have to do to learn from our previous mistakes. And the obvious first previous mistake is Justin Herbert last year. It's just so obvious. When you look back, it was obvious that a quarterback taken in the top 10 by a franchise with Keenan Allen, why we all let him slip, and what do we have to do to learn from our mistakes, my friend?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel about Zach Wilson right now.
So what do you think Zach Wilson does well that's going to make him fit into that New York Jets system right away?
I am making an assumption that the new Jets coaching staff is bringing over a similar playbook as that which the 49ers ran. Now, that's what I've read, but you're never sure with the new coaching staff, correct?
Uh-huh.
Where there's always a little bit of ambiguity. But I'm going to assume that they are going to implement a Kyle Shanahan bootleg, throwing on the run, getting Wilson out on the edges, and they should be designing an offense that caters to his strengths. If you are going to put Zach Wilson in the pocket on every play and expect him to win standing from the pocket all day long, I think you're doing it wrong. Yes, he can throw from the pocket, and you will design plays for him to be in the pocket. However, I want this young man on bootlegs. I want him on fake reverses. I want him out on the edge. I think about players like Matt Schaub, who excelled with the Houston Texans, who was very good at getting out on the edge. This is the Gary Kubiak Shanahan tree of offense. I do believe that's what the New York Jets are going to employ. If that is the offense that they are going to implement, I believe Zach Wilson has all of the skills that you are looking for to implement that style of offense. If it was 1987 and we want him in a Dan Marino, Miami Dolphins, or Dan Fouts, Air Coryell offense, I'm not convinced that Zach Wilson would be a superstar. But if you put him in this hybrid Bill Walsh, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, modern day Kyle Shanahan offense, like, I believe that Zach Wilson will flourish there. Also, I do believe Corey Davis is an upgrade that is better than what they had last year at the wide receiver position.
Jameson Crowder, Denzel Mims.
Yes, Denzel Mims, you've got to assume, will take a step forward. So if you have two better receivers than anything Sam Darnold had, that gives him more of an opportunity to be successful. And my man, my best friend's a Jet, so we watch the Jets and talk about the Jets way too much. If I've joked about this. Sam Darnold had to watch Frank Gore go 2 yards up the gut on about 60% of play calls on first down. If and when the Jets draft a running back, and I expect them, they have the 18th pick or the 23rd pick in the first round, and an early second round pick, they would be doing draft malfeasance not to get Zach Wilson a running back. You get Zach Wilson a running back who can be a pass catcher. You now have Corey Davis and Denzel Mims takes a step forward. You are going to implement that Kyle Shanahan-like offense, and I think there's hope. And I think everyone's looking at the negative with Zach Wilson. And there's a downside. Look, I get the floor. The floor is nasty. It's scary. You are talking about a floor that he could be washed out of the league for years. I get that. I understand that. But one thing that I've tried to learn and be better at is I've got to identify what I call the artistic or creative aspect of the quarterback. And my friend Matt Caraccio calls it a problem solver. When I see Zach Wilson, I see a problem solver. Not a perfect problem solver, but a good one. And then I have to be the artist and I have to paint the canvas. And what do I project this young man to be in the future? I see Zach Wilson to be a Russell Wilson, John Elway type quarterback in this offensive scheme that I believe the Jets are putting together, and he can flourish if everything comes together. And my job at the quarterback position is to rate the film, look at the production models, and then be able to paint a picture of what I believe the young prospect can be if everything in the organization comes around him to fruition and he can achieve his ceiling. Sam Darnold never had any of those opportunities on the New York Jets. I believe that Zach Wilson might have a better chance at flourishing in New York than Sam Darnold ever did. And I think it's a good thing that Darnold moved on. Yeah. It'll be good for his mental psyche, and he's moving to a better offensive system around him. But that's another story for another day.
Win-win for everybody involved there. And I love the comparisons there, the Elway and Russell Wilson, just kind of the ceiling that Zach Wilson could possibly be. There was a little bit of hidden code back in there. You may not have caught it, but if you are hanging on, wishful thinking for LaMichael P. Ryan, it's probably best you just kind of sell him for whatever you can. Maybe get a third for LaMichael P. Ryan if you could make that happen. I don't know if that's feasible even at this point, or some kind of toss in on a trade maybe. But
yeah, I think Michael P. Ryan's ship has left. Now, he might make the team and be your second or third running back. And we know the NFL is about opportunity, right? Fantasy football.
Yeah.
He might have opportunity, but we have to rely upon an injury or a terrible, something really bad happens on the analysis, right?
Yeah.
The Jets blow it with their running back selection. I know people say the tight end is the quarterback's best friend or the young quarterback's. You know what the young quarterback's best friend is? A running back.
There you go.
I mean, if you can run the football and take the pressure off your young quarterback, he is more likely to be successful. I mean, my friend and I laugh. The Jets were putting out Frank Gore. Frank Gore. Think about what we're saying. It seems like another lifetime ago he was on the 49ers Colin Kaepernick that went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, please.
Just a tank. So yeah. Let's get back to Zach Wilson. And you mentioned the comparison of Russell Wilson and Elway. What do you think the chances are that he's Mitchell Trubisky or Josh Rosen? Maybe Dwayne Haskins and something like that happening. Because you did mention, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's out of the league in 2 to 3 years or playing that role. What do you think the likelihood of that? Like, if you had to wager a bet on one of those scenarios happening that you mentioned between the one I just did with the players who have failed to Russell Wilson, you know what I mean? Where are you at on that? 50-50?
Oh, no, I think his chances of being – oh, okay, let me ask the first question, answer the first one. His odds of being Mitchell Trubisky or worse is like 15%.
Okay.
His odds of being Russell Wilson, I'm going to put it 25%.
Okay.
So yeah. I will take that risk if he falls in Dynasty, especially Superflex drafts.
Mm-hmm.
I will take that risk almost any day of the week.
Yeah. And I mean, in super flex, if you're getting the Jets taking him at number two, that's a starting quarterback in super flex.
He is. I mean, I'll tell you what my strategy now in my super flex are. I'm taking whoever's cheaper, Justin Fields or Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
That's it.
Whoever falls to you.
Yep. Because it is such a nuanced debate and analysis, and the two players are so close that I will take the better value in super flex drafts. Whichever one falls to me. I mean, it would be beautiful if someone is willing to sit on it. Let's just say Trey Lance goes to Atlanta, and Trey Lance, someone takes him early.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I can get Zach Wilson, who's going to start from day one in a super flex, I'm taking it, my friend.
Yeah.
There's no question. I want to sit on Justin Fields for 2 years? I don't know, man. No. That's hard in a super flex, right?
Yeah. If all of a sudden somebody's taken by the Falcons and you know they're playing behind Matt Ryan, they definitely lose appeal to you.
Yes.
So who's somebody within this draft that you're maybe a little bit higher on, or you do feel like they're going to be that bargain in the draft, as you kind of mentioned?
Well, I mean, so if the bargain throughout the offseason has been Mac Jones. I've been gobbling him up in the second round. But I don't think he's going to be the bargain anymore.
Yeah, by the time you get there.
Yeah, the train has left the station. If he's the third pick by the 49ers, his value is going to shoot way up.
Yeah.
Honestly, my friend.
For sure, dude.
Yeah, I don't like any other quarterback out of the top five. Like, none.
Yeah.
I don't like Kyle Trask. I have lots of questions about David Mills, Sam Ellinger. I'm not a Kellen Mond guy. And then you're looking at Jamie Newman, Ian Book, Shane Bouchel. No way. So those five are bust. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. What about some guys that you know you're absolutely avoiding, though, it doesn't have to be a quarterback, that you just kind of have seen in mocks you've done that from what you consider to be their ADP with consensus, you just can tell you're probably not going to have any of this player no matter how much you like him. People just like him a little bit more than you.
You're going to laugh.
You don't have to hate him. Kyle Pitts, yeah, I don't mind Pitts, dude. I kind of get it, especially knowing the grooming cycle that and patience that is actually going to go into that tight end position. He's probably one of the players in our rookie draft that you can almost guarantee will lose a little bit of value before he hits.
Yeah, and he's going off, right? You know, I see him at picks 4, 5, and 6. I just... In a super flex, there's no way I can take that unless I'm loaded at quarterback. But I think you and I have the same perspective. Can you ever have too many quarterbacks in a super flex?
No, no,
no. Right. Jimmy Garoppolo looked like a great second or third super flex option 2 years ago. Now you don't even know if you want him.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And that's one reason you absolutely changes. Want that depth, too. There's so many people that maybe they had like Jimmy G, Phillip Rivers, and maybe they had Josh Allen. We'll give them one good quarterback. And now they're going into this year with Josh Allen, and they're just like, wow, so what do I do with Jimmy G? And now they're hoping that the Patriots trade for him at some point, you know? So,
yeah.
But really quick before we get out of here, I want to make sure you talk a little bit about your model, anything you want to push, anything like that. John, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you hopping back on to do this player profile on Zach Wilson, and just what a pleasure you truly are.
Thanks, my friend. I like Zach Wilson watching his games through the fall. So I got pretty lucky because I love college football. And if you remember with the pandemic, the Big Ten, the Mountain West, the MAC, we weren't even sure if they were going to play. And the season started later for the SEC. So early on the year, we were getting very interesting games. And BYU was on the television a lot, my friend. And I saw the opening 3 games of BYU way back in September. And right then and there, Zach Wilson jumped off the TV screen. So after his 3rd game against Louisiana Tech, I started talking about him on after the 2nd game, College Fantasy Football Podcast. Then after the 3rd game, I started talking about him as an NFL prospect. So I started to watch a lot of Zach Wilson, and I took a lot of notes, and I really liked him. But then by the time the season came around, I put his numbers into my model. He hits 4 of the 5 benchmarks with a home run, my friend. He hits my career passing efficiency model. I'm looking for a 155. Zach Wilson, 161. That's a really nice number. That's solid in 3 years of football. Yards per attempt, I like 8.0. He has a 9.0, one of my most important numbers. I like a 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He has 53 career touchdowns with only 15 interceptions. He smashes the 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. His wow. completion percentage. People always tell me, my friend, that Zach Wilson is inaccurate. And I understand that there are plays that he throws the ball in the dirt. And he does make, at times, inaccurate throws. But I go back to 2 things that I think about. The first one is my model. The model says he completes passes at a 67% clip. To give you an idea, Trevor Lawrence is at a 66% clip. So I'm looking at a 65. So he beats my completion percentage. And then I say, this young man, it might look like completion, or if you anecdotally watch the film, you might think he's inaccurate. But you know what? The numbers tell you otherwise, my friend. And I no longer take anyone who says they've watched film and judge a player is inaccurate. I don't care. I look strictly at the numbers. What do the numbers tell me? And I know he throws balls into the dirt at times. He's a young quarterback, and at times his mechanics are off. I get it, but I cannot sit here and tell you that this young man is inaccurate because the numbers don't say that. It just, right? It doesn't compute. So when I have this conundrum, I go with the numbers. He also throws incredibly beautiful passes deep at times. And I learned, so he pops in my model. The only thing he falls short on is games played. He has 29 games played. My benchmark is 30. It's only one game short. So let's say he's in the margin of error. Does that make sense, my friend?
Yep.
As, give you an example, Trey Lance has only 17 games played. Justin Fields, 22 games played. Zach Wilson has played a lot of football. He was exceedingly brilliant last year at BYU. And he has extraordinary skills that if an offense is designed around his skills, he should be a success at the NFL level. And I'm going to go back. I learned the biggest thing. We talked about Justin Herbert last year, but I like Justin Herbert. You and I have talked about it. I had Justin Herbert ranked third. I felt like he was a good Josh Allen. I've got to open my minds to the creativity and what the NFL tells me. When I look at Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming and he played in the mountains, the irony here is after his junior year, I was huge on Josh Allen. He threw for 3,200 yards and 28 touchdowns with 15 interceptions. But then Wyoming completely fell apart, and he played very poorly in 2017. And when I put his numbers into my production model, my friend, he did not hit one number that we just reviewed. Not one. So I was lower on Josh Allen. But what I realized is he landed in a situation in which the coaching staff understood what his skill set is and maximized his skills over the last 3 years. Also, I don't know if Zach Wilson will ever complete. Didn't Josh Allen complete like 68% of his passes this year at the Bills?
Yeah,
like
Josh Allen
some extraordinarily
had a really good season,
high number. His completion percentage in college was 56%. And everyone the first 2 years in the league said that completion, you know, he doesn't complete a high percentage. Well, he just proved us all wrong. Part of it is Stephon Diggs, but part of it is his own work ethic, and part of it is the coaching staff.
Yeah.
When you combine those three things, look at the leap that Josh Allen took. And I thought a lot about my analysis of Josh Allen. Where I was wrong is I didn't imagine the ceiling, because the numbers told me that he could never complete 68% of his passes. Well, he just did that.
Yep.
So I've got to project to the future and look at a ceiling for players that I can't imagine. I've got to paint a canvas that people aren't thinking about when they only look at the production model. Yeah. One of the hardest parts about what? Go ahead.
No, yeah, I'm listening.
Oh, one of the hardest parts about quarterback analysis. Our society wants to judge a quarterback like an NBA point guard, one player who can dominate the game. Remember, in the NBA, you only have 10 people on the court at one time. 22 people play on the field at any one moment. Also, you're only on offense, if you have a good offense, 32 minutes a game. Your defense is on the field the other 28 minutes. Also, you have special teams, which are what? Anywhere from 10 to 15 plays a game. So you have to imagine there are so many moving pieces and variables. Yes, the quarterback position is a challenge. And I hear a lot of people now saying, oh my God, no one knows the quarterback position. The quarterback position can't be judged. You can't look at the quarterback position. You have to separate results from analysis as a prospect. The results that they perform on the field is a result of coaching, teammates, scheme, and opportunity. I can't control that.
Yeah.
I can't control my analysis of the prospect and try to paint a picture of their ceiling of what they can become. And that's what I'm trying to get better at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as an industry, we have to start thinking about that, because we want to paint the production model of a quarterback as a barometer of future endeavors. But we are ignoring so many parts of a complex sport with 22 other players or 21 other players on the field. You know, hockey has six people on the rink on each side, and a goalie can dominate. But a goalie needs a defense still in front of him. But I'd say that he has more opportunity to dominate. If you have a crappy offensive line, my friend, I don't care who you are at quarterback.
Yeah.
You're going to get hurt, and you're not going to play well. Look at what happened.
Exactly.
To Dak Prescott.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Look at Joe Burrow.
Look at Joe Burrow. Couldn't even make it through a year because of that terrible, terrible offensive line.
I love it, John.
So
I think you've at least got some people to start to question how they're looking at this, and maybe the possibility that maybe Zach Wilson is that 102. I think you've started to paint that picture. You know, maybe they're changing their strokes and how they've painted their picture. And I think that's what's important about this, John.
I'll tell you this. I have a team. What? Go ahead.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have a team with Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray. And I have, I think, the 10th pick I lost in the first round of the playoffs. My running backs collapse at the end. That's another story for another day. But if Zach Wilson ever made it in the second round, I'm taking him.
Yep.
I'll just tell you that right now. I don't care. The upside is too high to bypass Zach Wilson in the second round.
Yep.
I mean, and that's where I basically got – I actually got Lamar Jackson in the third round because Dynasty Leaguers weren't hip to the running quarterback and he fall to the 30th selection or the 32nd selection to the Ravens, right? And so I got a crazy value on Lamar Jackson. And then Kyler Murray I got in the second round 3 years ago now. Mm-hmm. So if Zach Wilson drops to me, I'm taking him, my brother.
Yep. I think a lot of people will be too. I can't see him getting past me at three in a super flex rookie draft at this point, though. I really can't. That's where I took him in our most current Rookie Fever mock draft that Dave Finero and I had last week, actually.
Oh, okay.
It went Lawrence, Fields, and then I took Wilson at three.
I mean, and so here's the only thing we haven't talked about yet. Wilson is not Lamar Jackson with his legs. I'll be the first one to say that. No. I don't even think he's
Josh.
Doesn't
even matter.
Yeah, and he's not Josh Allen. He's not Josh Allen.
Right.
But I'll tell you this. He's underrated, and he should get 300 to 400 rushing yards with 3 to 5 touchdowns on the ground, and I love that in fantasy football.
Yep. John,
he's good with
it
his
is
legs.
That time, my man. I enjoy the crap out of you, but you are now going to tell them all the great places to find you, where to find the model again. I know we talked about it at the beginning of the show. Where are those places, my
all
man?
Right. My written profiles, everyone, is on footballdiehards.com for the 8th year in a row. If you go to my Twitter feed, GridironSkull91, I could not afford the A and the R, I have a link that is free with all of my dynasty rankings at the skill position prospects. And they all have my benchmark stats in my model. So right now you can go and see Zach Wilson is my number 2 quarterback in the model. I have the benchmark stats up there and what Zach Wilson did on each statistical base. So you can read that, my friends. It's free. Just hit the link and it'll take you to a Google spreadsheet. You can see that. And then please go to YouTube and type in the Rookie Big Board. And my teammate Matt Hicks and I, we have our draft seminar series. And we have right now 45 rookies. And each one is a 10 to 12 minute video series breakdown.
Non-stop content there.
And Zach Wilson is there, everyone.
Yeah, so much content on that YouTube site for you and Matt with that seminar. That's awesome stuff.
Thank you, my friends. We put a lot of work into it. And it seems like the people so far it's been very well received.
Yeah, as it should be. Honestly, you know, you're an awesome guy. Matt's an awesome guy. And you guys are doing awesome work, man, grinding. So absolutely appreciate it.
No problem, brother.
John Lobb is at Gridiron Scholar 91, correct?
91.
Yeah. I am at Swagzilla 0G. This is at Rookie Fever. Another fun player profile. John is on vacation. And this is where he came.
On my vacation, I hang out with Swag.
Came to Rookie Fever.